I was about 20 years old, about 2.5 years in the seminary, when for the first time I had what I would call a deep, very deep spiritual experience. Changed my life in many, many, many ways. I'm a cradle Catholic, so just grew up doing everything Catholic, but the deep tug that you get from God, that happened just a little later in life. And as I said, I was about 2.5 years in the seminary. After this experience, I made a great confession. I decided that I would focus on scripture much more, that reflect upon it, that I would build up my prayer life. And suddenly I thought that everything would go my way. Because I felt close to God in that experience, and because I felt that God was with me like never before, I expected my spiritual struggles to just disappear. I did struggle with a very filthy mouth, and I was hoping it would just disappear, go away. I wanted to make the change, but it just wouldn't happen. And I struggled with that. I said, if I have made this step towards God, why am I struggling? The opposite should happen. Life is supposed to get easier when you follow the Lord. I didn't understand what was going on then. But later, it's an RCIA, when I was helping people embrace Catholicism and discover Catholicism, and understand this whole spiritual journey that people are on, I began to realize what goes on. Especially people in RCIA who become new Catholics. The Easter Vigil is great. You expect spiritual life to be a cakewalk. I'm sure many of you who've had spiritual experiences or you've made a retreat, you expect your spiritual life to get much easier. And honestly, that's not what happens. People get disillusioned, people give up, people think that God is not standing by them. Sometimes they just give up trying to be who God wants them to be. Now this is counterintuitive, isn't it? If you go to the doctor and you do everything the doctor wants you to do for your ailment to be gone, you're supposed to get well. Spiritual life doesn't work that way. In my 3 points, I want to talk today about our spiritual life, which includes who we are as human beings. But I'm trying to deal with this idea of spiritual disillusionment that people may go through. Sometimes very sincere people even go through a crisis of faith. And you have all of those in today's gospel reading. That first reading from Jeremiah, we come to that in a little bit. It's a very powerful reading, and thank God it is there. So let me talk about the spiritual struggles first. I want to talk about Peter. Do you remember last Sunday? Peter was complimented by Jesus. He was even given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. This is Peter's peak moment. And then right after that, Jesus begins to talk to them about his suffering and death. And Peter just doesn't put the two together because he doesn't know. If Christ is with him, or if Christ is God, why would he suffer? Why would life get rougher? It's supposed to be the other way around. So he takes Jesus aside. And the scripture uses the word rebuke. Peter is rebuking Jesus and he says, no, Lord, this cannot be. This cannot happen to you. That's how I was when I was 20. If I'm following the Lord, it's supposed to get easier. And Jesus says, if you wish to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Folks, why should it be this way? Why this paradox? Why this contradiction, as it were? It's very simple. Conversion or spiritual life becomes an intense struggle because when we get close to God, we make choices that are contrary to the choices we have been making thus far. Sometimes it's years of habit. I will tell you, I cannot tell you how much I struggle to clean my language. Just a simple thing. Because I have been learning a new language. I had to give up how many ever years of not thinking what I talk. So it's not that the Lord has changed. We have changed. We are making choices that are different than we have before. The closer we get to holiness, the more aware we become of our own sinfulness. Is this true? The more we get closer to the light, the more the Lord reveals the darkness in us. So it's not like this darkness did not exist, but it did not affect us before our spiritual experience. Now it does. And suddenly we think we are regressing, actually we are progressing. So does anybody here who's struggling? If you're struggling with your spiritual discipline, with prayer, if you're struggling with trying to live a just, a peaceful, a holy, a loving, a compassionate life, if you're struggling, remember you are on the right path. In fact, if you are not struggling in your discipleship, then something is not right. So hence, the counterintuitive dimension of spiritual living. Now, for some people, it's not just about spiritual disillusionment. It's something deeper. Sometimes we are in a crisis of faith. I am so happy that passages like today's first reading, somebody decided to record it. Thank God for that. Jeremiah was called by God when he was very young, and Jeremiah protested. He said, no, send somebody else, not me. But somehow God prevailed over him, and God said, I'll stand by you, that you go and preach, they will listen to your word and all that. And Jeremiah did exactly what the Lord asked him to do, and he was severely persecuted. Do you know that he was found in a pit after 30 days? And Jeremiah has a crisis of faith. Hear his language. He says, you duped me, Lord. He's telling the Lord, you cheated me. This is not what you said you would do. And he says, and I let myself be duped. Go home and read that passage. And if you're not heartbroken for Jeremiah, it'd be surprising. Have you ever been angry with God? Have you been so frustrated? I have been. I have prayed for young mothers who have cancer. So afraid to leave their children behind, and I have put my hands on them and have prayed. I was so sure that God would hear our prayer because God said to us, if you ask in my name, I will give you anything you ask. And the person dies. And you say to God, what the heck are you thinking? Then why did Jesus give us those words? Jeremiah is feeling what we feel many times. That's why I said, thank God. These passages are included in Scripture because when we have a crisis of faith, we can look to these prophets. We can see how they sustained their faith. So folks, if you have ever been angry, if you felt cheated by God, if you have felt guilty about feeling angry with God, we struggle with that too. Please know that you're not alone. Jeremiah's story teaches us that it is not wrong to feel spiritually disillusioned. However, we also must remember how Jeremiah's feelings of disillusionment end. It ends by Jeremiah confessing the very God he felt disillusioned by. So in today's reading, he'll say, you know, I don't want to talk about you anymore. I want to shut your words down in my soul. He says, but I cannot. I cannot. So even though he's going through a faith crisis, it's the very God that he's disillusioned by who lifts him up off the faith crisis. So folks, this precisely is the key for us. In moments of faith crisis, we must remember the larger story. And there might be other ways to deal with it, but this is how I deal with it. In moments of faith crisis, we have to remember the larger story, that it is God who created us. It is God who died for us. It is God who has redeemed us. It is God who is our destiny. When we remember the larger picture, then we just simply find a way to come out of our faith crisis. We can overcome our faith crisis as long as we do not completely lose sight of the ultimate goodness of God. Thirdly, in a very short point, folks, when I have moments of crisis, even, you know, in my present time, I wouldn't say faith crisis, but sometimes I struggle with stuff. And I always go back to my experience when I was 20 years old. Somehow that has become my Peter moment with Jesus. And I made it. I always go back to my original deep spiritual experience. Last week we heard Peter confess to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter's faith never abandoned him. Remember I told you last week that his worst was not yet, had not yet come? Even when his worst came, his original faith confession, he never abandoned it. Same thing with Jeremiah. When he was struggling, he always went back to that original calling. I guess what I'm saying is, faith confessions are very important. And as important is faith confession of an individual, it's also the life of the community that is very important. See, we are not people who simply say, "I am saved and I'm done." That's not us. We are a people that is traveling together. When my faith is weak, yours is strong. When yours is weak, mine is strong. We build up together. But that original faith confession, our baptism, or any experience that you cling on to, folks, that is what is going to help us overcome those moments of spiritual disillusionment and even moments when you're struggling. So this week, when you go back home, you know, ask yourself, what is that signature moment for me? When I fall down, what is it that I'm going to fall back on? Faith and spiritual life are very delicate yet complicated things. You must nurture it. That is what Jesus says when he says, if you want to save your life, you've got to lose it. If you lose your life, you will save it. Jesus in the Eucharist teaches us what all this means. The same Jesus who cried out on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? The same Jesus who said, into your hands I commend my spirit. Right here, gives us his body, gives us his blood. Let's find strength in this Christ who calls us to follow him. People of God said,